Let's read some words from Scripture. These are Ecclesiastes 12, very famous verses. They're very poetic. He's talking about old age. He's using imagery. He's talking about our bodies and their decay. So see if you can work out which image goes with which part of the body. Ecclesiastes 12, 1 to 7. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease before they are few. And those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. When men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire is no longer stirred. Then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. So as Thomas said, today we return to our occasional service. Sorry, I forgot to move that on. I hope you were listening for the last few verses. It's there. Oh, I still miss verses 6 and 7. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken. Before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. There we go. This is the word of the Lord. And we return to our series. And last time Tom covered the golden years of earlier retirement. Today we move beyond that. And it seems appropriate given that I am so encouraged by and just blessed by the older, many of the older people in the fellowship here who are holding on to the Lord and who are so thankful for him in their older age. It seems appropriate that before you listen to me, we hear firsthand from people for whom these challenges of this season are a reality. And I've asked Mary and Marion to come and share by answering three questions. What are the particular challenges of old age that they faced? How have they seen the Lord help and encourage them? And what would they say to someone 10 to 15 years younger than them? So I'm going to ask Mary first to come up and then Marion to share.
So the biggest challenges I have faced at this stage, having to slow down. I have to be very careful what I say here because there are many here who are younger than I am. And I'm very thankful that I'm blessed with general good health and I'm still driving and I'm still mobile. And I'm so thankful for that. But it still came as a shock the first time I had to watch the bus go without me because I couldn't run those last few yards to catch up. Multitasking is also a thing of the past. One thing at a time is often more than enough. I'm still surprised at how tired I get and how often I need a rest. The hardest thing for me is short-term memory loss. I've always had a very retentive memory. I can recall conversations now, word for word, and events that happened years ago. But if someone says, how did it go on Thursday? I've no idea what happened on Thursday, or even yesterday. I find it very frustrating that I have a conversation with someone and a few days later, I can recall what was said, but not who said it. I ask someone their name today, and by next Sunday I've forgotten it. I find it sad that I can't retain scripture verses and hymns of recent years, though I have many off by heart, going right back to childhood. My favorite psalm is 86. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. But what comes next? I don't know, and I must have read that psalm scores of times. I find it upsetting, but people are very kind and patient, and the Lord in his mercy gets me through these times. How have I seen the Lord encourage and help me? Christian friends, and particularly the KV family, have helped. I always get such a warm welcome when I come on Sunday mornings that I realize it doesn't really matter if I've forgotten some of your names. Some verses of scripture acquire deeper meaning with old age. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. I used to sort of gloss over that verse as part of Paul's experience, but really nothing to do with me. But now as I've got really old, you may not know I am 90. So I'm more and more aware of that inward daily renewing. 2 Chronicles 20:12. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee, has meant more and more with the passing years. What would I most want to say? To younger people, in a practical way, do what you can while you can. Bernard and I made a decision years ago that we would never look back and wish we had done more. Bernard did a lot of voluntary work when we came back to this country, right up until the time when his sight failed. And though it was frustrating to have to stop, he had a useful life to look back on. Store up all you can while your memory is still reliable, especially scripture verses and hymns that bring such comfort in later life. One good thing in growing old, and there aren't many, is that the longer you walk with the Lord, the more times you can treasure up of when he has intervened in your life in a special way. That amazing answer to prayer, perhaps a healing, his provision and protection, the special people he has brought into your life. Keep these things fresh in your memory. Share them with family and friends. About 50 years ago, we were facing a serious financial crisis, and a dear friend said, "But Mary, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine, saith the Lord." So in times of financial pressure in past years, all we've said is, "The cattle are still there, and now they're still there for me, as they are for all of us."
Thank you, Mary, so much.
Well, I don't know how I follow that, really, but I will tell you what I have written down here about these three questions. What are the challenges of old age? The first challenge of old age is to accept that it is actually happening to you. It creeps up on you until you begin to realize that you're slowing down. Suddenly, you can't do something that you used to do with ease. Your memory starts to let you down in sometimes embarrassing ways. Hearing and sight can start to decline. All this is hard to acknowledge. D, Dependence is another challenge, as energy decreases and limitations mean that you can't join in some of the events that you used to do. It is a challenge to our faith in God to accept all this without becoming resentful or fearful. It is also a time when we can look back over our lives and praise God for bringing us through joyful and sad times. We can regret the bad times, thank God for the good things, and as we run the race set before us, we can know forgiveness for the past and bright hope for the future. Loneliness is a real challenge too, especially if you live alone. It's easy to say that God is always with us, but we need human voices as well. I find that keeping up with friends and using all the ways open to us these days to keep in touch are vital. Invite people to visit you. Go to all the social events you can manage and pray for God to give you peace. There are advantages too. I always am urged to get on the bus first and then be given a seat. The second question was, how has the Lord helped? God has told us that he will never leave or forsake us. He has assured us that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. To seek him and he will find us. So it is good to know where God says this, and many more verses and passages in the Bible that speak of the depth of God's love for us. It is helpful, I find, to make up your mind to praise God every day. When I wake up, I thank him for sleep and safety and ask him to lead me through the day ahead. It is an amazing blessing to know that whatever happens is in his hands. It is so good to get to know the Lord better, and there are many ways of doing this. I am thankful for my growth group, for my triplet with Alison and Angela, for prayer groups and Bible studies with friends, and for all the people that I pray for, have knowing that they are praying for me. It is such a blessing too, that week by week, God's word is expounded here so richly and deeply, and to meet with all my family here, all of you. The Lord has helped me through all the difficult patches recently, and too has answered many, many prayers in amazing ways. It fills my heart with joy to know that God delights in me and rejoices over me with singing. When I am stressed, he quiets me with his love. That is a verse from Zephaniah chapter 12, verse 17, which helps me a lot. I can only say that when we call out to God, he will answer. We live under his love, mercy, peace, and grace every day. So what would I say to those who are 10 years younger or so? Once we are over 70, we are on extra time. So we have to face the fact that we shall all die. This is not morbid. As Christians, we trust that we go to be with the Lord when that happens. And Jesus himself tells us, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Do some preparation. Make sure you have made a will and have a power of attorney. Think about what you would like for your services, and even buy a funeral package. All these things will be very helpful for those left behind. Keep your mind active. I was very relieved to read that fiction is very good for the memory, as you have to follow the plot to the end. But there are also many books to read that will help you spiritually too. Keep up with your friends and make peace with difficult relationships if possible. Use every one of your gifts that God has given you. And above all, praise and thank God for the wonderful gift of Jesus for our salvation. I have a birthday card here that was given to me, and this is what it says. In your eyes, Lord, I never get older. It's just that I've spent longer in your company. So that's a good thing to know, that however old we are, God is our companion.
Thank you so much, Mary and Marion, for just being prepared to do that for us, to speak to us. And I really hope that your comments will spark off discussions, not only between people who think they might have arrived at this stage, but hopefully between younger people as well and older folk, because it would be a shame. Having such a wide spread of ages, wouldn't it be a shame if one generation never spoke to the other? That would be tragic. I saw this man, I was out delivering flyers in the neighbourhood, I saw this mat. It seemed appropriate for today, the last hurdle before home. Now, when I spoke on midlife, which I did recently, I knew very well what I was talking about. Not so much today. Obviously, I am older than I once was, and yes, I do feel that in various ways. But I offer what I've gleaned by watching and listening, and by what I see in God's word. I'm bound to sound somewhat inauthentic as I do so. I really, really hope and pray I don't sound patronizing. That would not be my intention at all. So what can we say about old age? Well, old age is obviously a time of increasing limitations. Preacher Doug Barnett, that some of you may know, said, "We know we're growing old when we find ourselves at the top of the stairs thinking, now what did I come up here for? In fact, what am I doing here at all? I live in a bungalow." I think laughing about these things is good, but the challenges are real, aren't they? The challenges are real. Bodies age, more things failing. Perhaps you get to the point when there are more hospital appointments than social appointments. Or perhaps your hospital appointments become your social appointments. There's the challenge of memory loss and just growing more tired more quickly. That was mentioned. Those things were mentioned, weren't they? These limitations lead, I think, to two significant things. Firstly, shrinking horizons. I don't think this is absolutely guaranteed, but I think it does have to happen, really, that the horizons of our world begin to pull in. You're just not as active, you don't see so many people, you're not able to get out and about as much. And secondly, with that, as has been mentioned, loss of independence. Learning to accept what you can no longer do and therefore relying more on others. That moment, I think this must be very difficult, that moment when you have to stop driving. That's tough. That must be a tough point. Old age is also a time of looking back. This can be good and positive because there are, I'm sure, for all of us, many happy memories, though those two can be tinged with the sadness of loss. Remembering all God's blessings, his provision, his love. But looking back can also throw up other feelings. It can throw up regret about what hasn't been done or things that have been done, things we've done that we shouldn't have done. Guilt can come in over the way we've behaved, or opportunities not taken, or broken relationships. They're powerful when we look back and remember those things. And that may lead to feeling guilty, but it may also churn up pain and bitterness as you remember how others have treated you. or maybe your disappointments with God. Why didn't your life turn out as you thought it would do? Why didn't he seem to answer all those prayers in the way that you imagined he would? And as our horizons begin to creep in, I think perhaps we have more time to dwell on these things of the past. But it is also a time of looking forward. Now, the believer can look forward with real hope. And we'll talk about that later. But let's be honest, looking forward can also induce fear. For some, there is a very, very real fear of death. And I have to say, I think that increases in a society like ours, which does not face this reality as we should. We are not encouraged to prepare for this most solid of all realities. We don't like to talk about it. We kid ourselves that we can go on living as if we were young. And we deny the reality of death to come. When you die, what next? Well, God's word does tell us we can be sure what next. Jesus says this, and we read this at pretty much every funeral. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. That's a promise for those who believe in Jesus. As we put our trust in Jesus, what happens when we die? We'll be with him. We'll be with him. But maybe you're not sure about that. And if you are not sure, and it's quite possible, if not probable, there are some here who are not sure about that, then please let me and you talk about that so that you can look at God's word and so that you can be sure, so that you know that your trust is in Jesus, because this is too important to duck this out of embarrassment. Do you know where you go when you die, where you are going? But you know, even the believer, unafraid of death itself, can still be afraid of what will happen before death. This is entirely understandable. The fear of declining health, fear of developing dementia, maybe. Or maybe fear of the pain of death, the process that you have to go through to get there. Woody Allen, comedian, film actor, famously said, I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Maybe that's something how you feel. You feel like that. Maybe you're not afraid of death itself, but of what will happen between now and that moment. That's an entirely understandable fear. This can be a time of increased loneliness. I put a question mark there because it's not always the case, but it can often be. Your circle of friends decreases. Your opportunities to get out and about shrink. Maybe your loved ones, your family live a distance away, and perhaps you begin to feel somewhat abandoned because you don't get as many visits as you would like. There is also the sadness of bereavement, which is a huge weight. The loss of spouse, of course, and many, many of you here know that. And very recently too. But also loss of friends. That's painful, isn't it? Going to one funeral after another. Having to buy deepest sympathy cards ever more frequently. That's tough. Well, you're thinking, thank you, Graham, for stating the blindingly obvious. What else can we say? Well, we can say what the Bible says. This is very much a time for leaning into the Lord. I'd go further. Encouraged and by such testimonies as we've had from Mary and Marion, this is a unique opportunity to learn to trust the Lord more. And it really is up to you whether you take that opportunity. It really is. No one else can take responsibility. It's up to you. The Bible constantly shows us that the things we regard as limitations are actually God's opportunities for growth. Young Mary learned this, mother of Jesus, submitting. She was young, of course, but she submitted to a path of scandal and shame, to the huge limitation of a baby in those circumstances. She submitted to do the Lord's will. Paul learned this. I don't know how old he was when he wrote this. We had this last Sunday evening when we were talking about mental health challenges. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Interestingly, it seems to come from the Lord and from Satan. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And here's the sad reality. It's only as the things we might regard as our strengths are taken away from us that we begin to live out the reality of that. It's sad but true, isn't it? I mean, you know, we'd love to learn these lessons earlier, but you can't fit a quart into a pint pot, as they say. These are important lessons. Aged Simeon and Anna in the temple. Remember them in Luke 2? You can read that there. Watching. They were alert to what the Lord was doing. Ready to see what when the baby appeared, Jesus, the baby Jesus. Ready to recognize the Lord's salvation. Here's the truth. Loss of independence is really, really tough. But it painfully reinforces the truth that actually none of us is independent ever. Even when we feel hale and hearty and full of the joys of youth, we are not independent. And learning dependence on the Lord is good. Mary and Marian talked about prayer. Why are other people often more prayerful than younger people? Sorry, why are older people often more prayerful than younger people? Well, we might say perhaps they had more of a tradition of it when they were young. Well, I think that's a bit of a cop-out. I think because of this, sadly, many of us only really begin to learn to pray as we deal with the frustrations of not being able to run around looking busy. Because that's why most of us don't pray, because we're running around looking busy. And sometimes it takes the Lord just to put the brakes on to get us to concentrate on him and to pray. But of course, it's not a case of older people praying about the work they can no longer do, because prayer is the work. It's not the only work, but it is a large part of the work. This is a time for forgiveness, and again, this has been mentioned. You know, those regrets, we need to seek forgiveness for them. We need not have to carry them as a burden. We seek forgiveness from the Lord, of course. But also, maybe we have to seek out the people we've wronged. If they're still around, if it's troubling us, let's not dig up stuff that, you know, is no longer troubling anyone. But if it's troubling us, perhaps we should. Perhaps we need to seek them out, write them a letter, or get in touch in some way, or maybe even meet up. Or maybe we need to look back and forgive those resentments, those bitternesses that we are carrying. And that again may involve getting in touch with someone too. Now, please, I am not for one moment suggesting this is easy to do. It really isn't. This is tough. This is hard. But perhaps for some of us here, we know the Lord is saying, yeah, do you know what? I do have to face up to that. Maybe there are things needing to be said. Maybe the air needs clearing with a family member. Or maybe it's not so much, not in the context of forgiveness, receiving or offering, but more it's just that you've left unimportant things yet unsaid to those close to you. Maybe your children, your siblings. Have you told them how you regard them? Have you told them you love them? If only, you know, it might be that, telling someone how much you love them, how much you appreciate them. You know, some people go their whole lives not hearing that, from their parents even. Let's not do that. Let's not leave these things too late. Because one thing does become obvious as we age, and that is that time is running out. Time here is running out. But it is a time for focusing on the glory to come. Do you believe Christ died and rose again to give you eternal life? Do you believe that those who trust in him will be with him in glory for eternity? Hallelujah! This is real. And so focus on it. This will help you bear the burdens of a weary and aging body. Mary read this, these verses. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Don Carson said, there's nothing wrong with me that a good resurrection can't fix. I love that. That's great. And we've just celebrated Jesus' resurrection at Easter. This is so important for how you view your body. That resurrection, Jesus' resurrection. Too many Christians seem to think that eternity is about us floating around on clouds as disembodied souls. That's not true. Just as Jesus' physical body was raised, so will ours be if we trust in him. Yes, when you die, it's true, your soul goes to be with Christ. But that's like the waiting room. When Christ returns, he will raise up believers' bodies, glorious new spiritual bodies, Paul says, fully energized by the Spirit, but real material bodies nonetheless. And we read about this in Philippians. We eagerly await a Savior from heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Physical resurrection. We ourselves, Paul writes in Romans, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. To complete salvation. That's astonishing. Your body matters to God. And that's important for you to know when you feel it ailing and creaking and wrinkling. It's not a case of thinking, oh, well, it's only the physical. I shouldn't worry about it. No, it matters to God. It may be decaying now, but he hasn't finished with it yet. If we don't grasp that, we rob ourselves of great comfort and hope. One author, I think it's John le Carré, I'm struggling to remember, I think it's John le Carré, writes, he's writing of spring, and he writes of the trees remembering green again. That's lovely. I mean, we see it out here at the moment, can't we? We see the trees remembering green again. When Christ returns, and resurrection spring comes, your body will remember green again. Hallelujah. If you're trusting in Jesus, you can be sure of this. Why? Where's he gone? He's out in the junior. Charlie said this last week, because Jesus rose from the dead. Dylan Thomas, the poet, wrote about spring as a green fuse, kind of pushing life through everything, a green fuse. Well, you know, the green fuse of resurrection has been lit in Jesus' resurrection. That is the green fuse that is driving slowly but surely through to the explosion of new creation and your resurrection. And if you're not sure about that, then I have to ask, have you truly put your trust in Jesus? If not, don't delay. Turn to him and be saved and start to glory in the future. So it's also a time to encourage younger people. You don't have to be that caricature. Some of us are getting pretty close to it already. That caricature of a crotchety old codger always moaning about the youth of today. You don't have to be that one. We could cut the younger generations some slack. We could actually remember our own youthful folly and not pretend that we've always got it all right. And we could entrust them to the Lord in prayer and get alongside and encourage and pray for them. Now, it's true, maybe they won't want to listen to you regaling them with stories of the past as you try to pass on your wisdom. But if you journey with them, showing prayerful interest and encouragement, they will imbibe more of the wisdom of age than they bargained for. They will. I heard this week about Admiral Collingwood. He was a great military and naval leader in time of the Napoleonic Wars. He was at Trafalgar with Nelson and so forth. Well, apparently Collingwood, when he was back on dry land, he would go with his dog out for walks on the hills, and he would take a bag of acorns, and everywhere he went, he would plant acorns. Why? Because he knew that the British Navy needed oaks to make their ships with. Well, he wouldn't know that steel would come along. But what a vision! What a vision! We need those acorns to grow into oaks, don't we? We do, and you can be planting them. You can be watering them, passing on the baton. Have that vision. And so, yes, it is a time for praying. Maybe we can't concentrate so much, but when other limitations come, this is something we can still do in one way or another. And I am so grateful for older people who have prayed for me, and for older people, including grandparents, who have prayed, who are praying for my children. It's so valuable and it makes a difference. And if we do develop good habits and patterns of prayer when we're younger, they will stay with us when other things fade, just as those old hymns come to mind when we can't remember even sometimes the name of our own children. Because actually, did you notice something here? I've cheated, because all these things don't wait until you're old. They're relevant whatever age we are. The Ecclesiast thought so too, didn't he? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. That vivid picture, grimly real. The last great challenge, the final hurdle before home. But friends, perhaps the most encouraging thing we can say is this: we don't take that hurdle alone. We don't. Do you know, I read these verses to Valerie. These are among the last words I said to Valerie. I read them to her on Wednesday. Listen to me, O house of Jacob. Isaiah 46. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain of the house of Israel. You whom I have upheld since you were conceived and have carried since your birth, even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father God, we thank you so much that you are with us every step of the way. Lord, I want to thank you for the many, many lovely, wonderful, beautiful, older believers we have in this fellowship. Mature, rejoicing in you, holding on in faith, living out victory right now, even through the pain and the sadness and the tough challenges. They encourage me and they make me very thankful to you, Lord. Thank you for them. Help them, but help all of us, Lord. Help all of us to encourage one another. The old encouraging the young, planting and watering the acorns. The young supporting and just journeying with the old. For our benefit as much as theirs, I say ours. Wherever we are in the scheme of things, Lord, there are always people younger and older that we can be journeying with. So, Father, thank you for this. This is part of being in the family of your family, and I thank you for it. This is a rich thing. Help us to take the opportunities that are here. In Jesus' name, amen.